Thank you, Andy. So we've got here hacking ICANN, slightly different sort of hacking from what you've been seeing in some of the other talks. We're not talking about hacking machines here, but more of a social engineering. Nonetheless, we think that we can use some of the terminology of hacking to think about how to get inside this organization and make it work for us. So we can do packet flooding. We can send to ICANN dozens or hundreds of comments or applications when it opens up its processes to tell it that the public cares about the new top-level domains. If you want to add to the .com and .info and .arrow and think you can do better than .coop, send in some comments or help put together an application. We can do Trojan-style attacks, infiltrating the bodies that are currently fairly unrepresentative of the general public, to give them some more public spirit while they continue to operate as though they were merely the intellectual property or business constituency. Cross-site exploits, get some existing organizations involved in the ICANN process. They don't have to become slaves to the ICANN process or devote all of their time to it, but can send in comments into these processes from time to time to let ICANN know that somebody from outside is watching and somebody cares, and put these positions into the debate. We can set up quasi-botnets by, if a few people get involved and interested, each of you can draw a few friends into the process and add a few more comments and suggest comments. Other constituencies do it. The intellectual property constituency submitted hundreds of comments that looked nearly identical simply by sending out on one of their trademark association lists a call for comments and a suggestion, here's what your comments might look like. And guess what? The ICANN forums were flooded with comments. Yes, the intellectual property constituency thinks it is tremendously important that who is information, the data that you put into a domain name registration, continue to be available for anyone who wants to prowl through it, because that's critical to protecting our trademarks. Hundreds of comments said virtually the same thing. Well, why can't the public do that? Send in hundreds of comments to demonstrate that there are interests other than, and often even more important than, the intellectual property lawyers. And if we can do some of these things, we can get root on ICANN. We can eventually get direct public representation at the ICANN board level. And I hope you'll help us to script some of these processes so that we can make it easy for members of the public to join in, tear down some of the daunting walls of acronyms that tend to keep people from participation in the ICANN process. So when we're starting to think about an attack, we start by looking at the target, what's its value, what are its attack points. Well, what is ICANN? There's the ICANN logo. It's the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. It's a nonprofit public benefit corporation organized under California law. And here's its mission statement. Mission is to coordinate at the overall level the global internet system of unique identifiers, and in particular to ensure the stable and secure operation of the internet's unique identifier system, domain names, internet protocols, and protocol numbers. DNS. Well, that's a nice sounding mission statement. Stability and security sound good to all of us, but we all know what happens to lots of mission statements. They end up shelved, and ICANN more often presents this face. this is, in fact, from its last public meeting in Los Angeles. They had a big gala out at Sony Studios, and the Imperial Stormtroopers invaded to claim their rightful home. More practically, ICANN is involved with the oversight of domain names and IP address assignments at the highest level, deciding whether to allow the introduction of new top-level domains. We don't need to explain domain names and IP addresses in this crowd, I think. But what does it mean when ICANN coordinates their allocation and assignment? This organization has been around almost 10 years now. It's primarily been in a position of blocking the coordination and assignment of new top-level domains. It's been stalling the introduction of new or internationalized top-level domain names. So even though it was set up in 1999 with the mission to expand beyond the .com, .org, and the limited set of country code like .de, identifiers, we still have a very limited set, and many of them are so-called sponsored domains. If you wanted a .arrow, you probably couldn't get one. .museum, anyone ever visited a .museum website? This was one of ICANN's brilliant ideas to create a domain space for museums. Well, most of them still live in .org. So what else has it done? It's been setting up trademark happy domain name dispute resolution processes. What do you think's going to happen when you give a bunch of intellectual property lawyers the reins to set up dispute resolution processes for challenging somebody's registration of a domain name? Well, you get decisions like one WIPO, World Intellectual Property Organization, panel's decision that VivendiUniversalSucks.com is identical or confusingly similar to Vivendi Universal. So that name, Vivendi Universal Sucks, was taken away from its domain registrant, who might well have been trying to criticize the Vivendi Corporation, and given over to Vivendi Universal instead. We need the public to be explaining its interest in having criticism domains as a place to voice their concerns and not have them all swept into the basket of trademark infringement. It's been coordinating the allocation and assignment by continually renewing VeriSign's contract to run .com, allowing price increases on those and limiting competition in the domain name registration space. If any of those things concern you, come and join us and Hacking ICANN.
All right. Well, Wendy, there's some truth about it, right? VivendiUniversalSucks.com is quite similar to VivendiUniversal.com. So I think it's a sort of honesty here. Why should you care? Do you want ICANN to mess around with your data? Do you want to have data mining with the Whois data? Do you want to have stalkers and spammers, you know, look at your Whois data? Do you want to have monopolists? Do you want to have price increases which are absolutely unjust because, you know, you have a monopolist and they just rule the price and say, hey, the more domains you get, the higher the price. I learned something at university about how market functions, and somehow this was not included. It was just the opposite way, you know, you have more products of the same, you have no more investment in technology. So the price should go down. But here we go. In VeriSign, the price rises. So if you look at the new TLDs, what sort of new TLDs do we get? Can you use those TLDs? If there is a .jobs, for me as a member of a trade union, this was really fun. You know, my first ICANN meeting, .jobs was introduced, and I was happy, and I said, hey, great, you know, really bad jobs or well-paid jobs or, you know, whatever you could think of getting nice domain names. But unfortunately, those domain names are reserved for headhunters and companies. So there is no chance that we could use those domains. And of course, it is much more fun if you have a more larger variety of domain names. And so there's an initiative right here to have a .Berlin. But also there is a big step forward now in introducing internationalized domain names. You might think, okay, this is probably much more important for Chinese people who really have different letters. It is not as important for Germans here to have IDNs. But it could be fun, as we're here at the CCC, to have some Hexen, .Hexen would be nice. Oh, what about .Götterdämmerung? You know, there is a bright variety, a broad variety, but of course, Chinese people are much more longing for internationalized domain names. So, what's about, Wendy already mentioned, the whole intellectual property lobby. It is far too strong, and we do have to take care of the domain name system. Actually, a core issue item of ICANN stability. But here in this nice building, last night you could listen to Dan, and so we have to, protect the domain name system from Dan Kaminsky. So, and if that did not convince you yet to say, hey, yes, I have to do something about it, well, there's another proposal. What about a budget of 46 million? Don't you think that a public benefit corporation should involve the public in that spending? Wendy, where is the public? Well, the money is there, but who controls it?
Well, a little bit like the old Where's Waldo books, it's hard to find the public in the set of structures that ICANN has created. There's the circus that is ICANN, and the last slide mentioned travel junkets. ICANN has held its meetings in spots as diverse as Singapore, Cairo, Morocco, Los Angeles, Rome, Berlin, New Delhi is coming up next. This organization spends a lot of time, and it seems as though there's a great public interest to a lot of what it does, but sometimes the public can be hard to find. Now, as the organization was set up, it was slightly easier to find the public. In its initial construction, the first bylaws and structures of the organization said that fully half the ICANN board of directors was supposed to be chosen by the at-large public. And in 2000, there was a round of at-large general elections, and one of our at-large directors is here up on the stage with us. This was the first and only time that the public got directly to choose members of the governing board here, and those public directors were able to advocate for the public. They were still a minority in the structure, so they weren't able to push through everything we might want. But compare that to this current organization chart. There's not much room left for the public. The public directly chooses no directors for the board. Rather, the public can form at-large structures to form regional at-large organizations to select members to an at-large advisory committee, which can advise the board and participate in discussions, but not vote there. We can choose some seats on the nominating committee, which is a bit of a misnomer because it actually selects candidates directly rather than putting them forward for a slate of elections. Meanwhile, other organizations here directly select directors to sit on the board and get much stronger representation that way. So how can we fix this imbalance? How can we take the public out of the merely advisory role? And we've given advice many times and had very little of it even responded to, much less acted upon from this role. So where else, where can we go to, even within this structure, to make a difference here? Well, there are a few different places that we can poke our noses in. ICANN is supposed to, as we said, be a public benefit corporation, which means it's supposed to act in a transparent manner for the public good. It's supposed to read and respond to comments that it gets. So it can't blindly ignore the comments that the public submits. So it can submit comments when it calls for comment in its issue discussions. We can submit complaints to the ombudsman, who is there as a semi-independent agent to respond to complaints about the way the organization is functioning. We can participate in the generic name supporting organization, which develops policies for the generic top-level domains. We can, through our individual countries and the organizations that run the country code top-level domains, submit comments or ask for policies that are public-friendly. We can submit technical comments, and we can participate to make the at-large advisory committee something that's too big for ICANN to ignore. Right now, ICANN likes to use this as a sort of fig leaf to say, look, we're listening to the public. They need the public for legitimacy. As a nonprofit public benefit corporation, they can't very well say straight out, we just ignore the public. So rather than merely complying and letting them pretend that this weak structure represents all of the public interest, we can make enough noise to get them to pay attention here. So this is the structure that we mentioned, the at-large advisory committee, and this is sort of ICANN's view of the public. Despite the fact that the organization is supposed to be a bottom-up, self-organizing organization, this is a very top-down view. The public is these little ants down at the bottom, and we've got several layers or walls in between, insulating the board from having to listen to those little ants. And the public is supposed to participate by creating at-large structures and regional at-large organizations and an at-large advisory committee, and maybe that at-large advisory committee will be allowed to talk to the board on a regular basis. You want to tell us a little bit more about what this structure looks like?
Sure. Yes, we are allowed to the board to talk to the board. Not only that, we have a very good liaison to the board, who is giving smart advice to the board right in the board discussions. But just to let you know a little bit more about the at-large advisory committee itself, the committee is constituted by three representatives of each region. Each region means there are five regions in the world. This is Asia, Latin America, Africa, Europe, North America, and what did I leave out? That was it. Five regions. Two people get elected via those organizations. Here, if you have at-large structures, at-large structure is really a silly word. At-large structure, at least for me as a German, I looked it up, I tried to find, you know, what is at-large. It did not show up in the dictionary. And it's supposed to mean, you know, the whole at-large world. Here are all these individual, what were these ants, right? Ameisen. There are these little creatures here. They have organizational representatives. And here is the nice part. There are actually quite nice organizations in place. And as we're here in Berlin, we have the Chaos Computer Club, we have the Network New Media, we have the FIRBOOT, and actually the FIRBOOT, who gives the Big Brother Award, they are actually a member here. They are an at-large structure. The Network New Media is an at-large structure. So we have great people here, and those people form a regional at large organization. So this is set up, for example, as we're here in Europe. There are many ISOC organizations, there are other organizations, all those form one organization called RALO, that is a regional at large organization. A region is, as I said, Africa or Asia or whatever. So those RALOs, they are going to elect two people to the at large advisory committee. And then there is a sort of nominating committee from ICANN. They also select one person, and this from each region. So this adds up to 15 people in a whole in the at-large advisory committee. Needless to say that there is a lot of, apart from ideology and politics, there are just some very simple and practical problems. What language do you speak? English, of course. But how well do people speak English? Especially, let's say, here we are a little bit more privileged, but to Europe, one part of Europe is Russia, is Moldova, is Romania. All this is part of Europe. And I can assure you, I have a hard time speaking in English, but those folks, they really have a hard time to speak English. And if you go to Africa, people rather speak French, and it is already a foreign language to them if they speak French. So all those people have to learn to communicate in English, and not only in English, but online English. So here we go. It is much harder to do all these, you know, nice talks. And here are all these wonderful, witty people from North America. And I can tell you, it sucks. You know, they are just there and they write one page and you write one line. You're proud of your one line and it took you ages and they write the whole page. So communication is a real big issue here, apart from all political stuff. But talking about politics, of course, we want to organize in a way that we say, okay, let's take the chance. Here are these structures, and not that they are the best way, certainly not. We need much more individuals influencing this organization and giving all their ideas, their creativity, and their thoughts to the ICANN board. So, what do we need? We need individual users as little space invaders. This is the way it should be. Go, Wendy.
So we don't, even with this structure, we can use it to our benefit. We can use these layers as ways of encouraging people to converse in their own languages and to share on regional discussion lists their viewpoints, to educate one another about the importance of these issues, to tell us up in the higher levels, what are the privacy concerns that they might have? How do local laws deal with privacy concerns about forcing domain name registrants to disclose their name and address and telephone number in a public database every time they register a domain name? How does the law in Europe, in Asia, in Africa address the privacy issues there? What are the concerns of individuals who might want to register? And by generating strong opinions and demonstrating that these really are issues of public concern, we can filter the concerns upwards to ICANN's board in ways that they can't reasonably ignore it. We can't guarantee that they won't ignore it, but we can, the greater demonstration of public support for positions we have, the harder it is for an organization to sit up on top and say, in the name of public benefit, we ignore all that the public has to say. If the public is speaking loudly, that must at least be taken into account. And so the more we can use these structures, not necessarily in the way they were designed, not necessarily as walls to keep the public voice out, but rather as funnels to push the public voice up to the head of the organization to make it heard. And so what can we do more concretely? We can take over or create constituencies within the GNSO. That's the generic name supporting organization, the policy body that sets up rules for example, for the creation of new top-level domains. So recently they produced a stack of paper in the form of a policy and procedure for the approval of new top-level domains. If somebody wanted to create a .Berlin, there were hoops and hoops and hoops. They would have to jump through dispute resolution procedures and opportunities to challenge, all tending to make it rather difficult for new top-level domains to be introduced. There are currently five constituencies within the GNSO. Registries, people like VeriSign who run the .com registry. Registrars, the public-facing entities that sell you domain names. The business constituency. The intellectual property interest constituency, the ISP and connectivity providers constituency, and on the other side, tending to take a more public interest, the non-commercial users constituency. Well, you've noticed there's no domain name registrants constituency, there's no individual internet users constituency, but there could be. There is a procedure in the ICANN bylaws for creation of new constituencies, and by explaining to ICANN the interest that would be served by giving the registrants of domain names a voice in the creation of new domain names, we might get a better grip on that process. There are also existing constituencies which are required to be open to anyone who is a part of that group. So the intellectual property constituency is supposed to represent anyone who has an intellectual property interest relating to the domain name system. Well, any of you who has ever written an email has composed a copyrighted work, and if you've sent an email or written a web page, you've used the domain name system in connection with your copyrighted works, you've got intellectual property interests relating to the domain name system. If you run a business, if you operate as a consultant, you have a place in the business constituency, which currently has only about 30 members. Wouldn't be too hard for a whole bunch of small businesses to come in and say, you know, there are other business interests than the big businesses who are currently standing there. Making that constituency more representative or protesting against its policies if they're set up not to allow that participation could really get the public into the domain name process. Spawn some at-large structures. This at-large advisory committee may be a cumbersome process. It may be sound like a lot of process and very little substance, but it's got some direct connections into ICANN, it's got some mailing list, it's got some part of that $46 million budget. ICANN spent about $500,000 or budgeted about $500,000 for at-large last year. So if there's something that your group needs to have in order to participate in ICANN, come tell us about it and tell us what you'd need to be more effective participating in ICANN. Go to the feds. ICANN currently operates under a contract with the United States Department of Commerce. That bothers lots of people outside the United States who don't think that the internet should be controlled by essentially a U.S. corporation under the thumb of the U.S. government. And one of the things that's coming up in the next year or so is a review of that so-called joint project agreement, where the U.S. government will review how ICANN is performing under its contract. And if ICANN isn't listening to what you're saying, maybe the U.S. government will. The U.S. government has said it's quite interested in how people think ICANN is doing. If you think ICANN is doing a great job and the U.S. government should let go, tell them. If you think ICANN is doing a terrible job and the U.S. government should rein it in, tell them. If you think that your own government should be doing more to protect your interests in ICANN, lobby your own government. The Government Advisory Committee, although also an advisory committee, has more power than the at-large advisory committee. If ICANN board wants to disobey something that the GAC, yes, that is what the Government Advisory Committee calls itself, if the ICANN board wants to disregard a GAC instruction, they have to provide specific responses and an explanation of why they've chosen to disregard those instructions. So your government's claim that they represent the public interest, let them know what your public interest is. And finally, as we always say about code, comment it, comment it, comment it. There are lots of places where ICANN puts out calls for public comment. Very often they're filled with spam or with the kind of spam of chain letters from the constituencies who have financial interests in this stuff. When intellectual property lawyers feel that their trademarks are threatened, they can pour money into it. When businesses feel threatened, they can pour money and consultants into it. We don't have the money necessarily, but we do have manpower, and we should be able to get some comments in expressing the other side of many of these issues. So we're going to skip over these next few slides, leave them in the presentation deck so that you can see a little bit more about how the GNSO works. We want to encourage you also to make at-large structures. So you want to tell us a little bit more about at-large structures?
No, I mean, it's just what I said already. You know, if you have an organization or you have, let's say, you are the, not ICANN Watch, but Government Watch concerning data and privacy, this organization is a perfect organization to join and to become an at-large structure. You just have to, we will give you the link right at the end of this session. You just click on ICANN.org and you find a link there to apply as an at-large structure. It does not cost anything but 5 minutes time. And you just say, hi, we are very much interested in joining and we would like to give our inputs on a certain issue. And this is the way you can do it. If you're interested, if you care about this global communication platform which is run and established by ICANN, yeah, go ahead. And there's a chance. There's a chance that you can also, you know, not only listen here at the CCC to some folks, but to check it out right there, because ICANN, if there's a regional meeting of ICANN in Europe, for example, here, then those at large structures will have the possibility to visit this ICANN meeting, and you can raise your voice right there at the ICANN meeting, take the mic, and because ICANN is actually funding your travel then to go there. So you get some more ideas about how things work. You can talk to those nice intellectual property folks and let them know what you think. And actually, it might sound like, well, what is the talk about? But it is really also a very much a personal thing. It is a matter of who is there. And ICANN is just flooded by all these intellectual property folks. And if there are other people physically there and they're standing up, raising their voice, handing in comments, this helps.
So as we said, at-large structure is just ICANN-ese for an organization that's interested in something to do with domain names. And,
just a short overview on what organizations here, as we are here in Berlin. These are the current German organizations. Here are the links, how to form an at-large structure. All this will be online for you. You don't have to take any notes. And, Wendy, be an independent author, just 1 second. And the next European meeting will take place this very summer in June. So why don't you come over? Join the ICANN meeting in Paris, speak up, take the mic, form an at-large structure, submit public comments. You're very much welcome to do so. I can only say full steam ahead. Thanks.
Before I open the audience for your comments and questions, I'd like to maybe add 2 small comments on why this might make sense or does not make sense. So the one struggle that you will always have as an individual user, as I had as a representative of the individual user, was the fight with the governments. Because when you sit in these meetings and you have the government advisory committee meeting, all governments on planet Earth sending at least one, representatives, some countries even send an ambassador, some send a more informal guy. And these guys stand down in front of you if you raise a position and they say, you know, what are you? You're representing users, but what are users? Users are citizens of countries, and countries are represented by their government, aren't they? So who the fuck are you? And I mean, this is an important task to see, that if we do not integrate ourselves in this process, these governments, of course, being very selfish and having their own interests and protecting their assets, as protecting their power structures that goes in compliance mostly with business interests in the field of intellectual property, others, they will take the role and they will behave as if they would speak for the citizens, which, of course, they do not. So, I mean, next to the question, of course, is the waste of time you're about to do with going to that process, is it worth it? You will have to see if you don't go there, you know, others will take the role. But I got one critical question to you both, and that was because Wendy had this idea of saying, you know, if you're not happy with the ICANN, why don't you just go to the U.S. government and tell them that, you know, you're unhappy with the ICANN and they should, you know, abolish ICANN? Of course, I mean, if ICANN is afraid of anything, and that was with every board meeting, you have this conspiracy evening dinner before the board meeting, so all decisions are, of course, made the night before. And you've got the advisors being the lawyers of ICANN telling you, you know, no, we shouldn't discuss that in public, or we shouldn't vote in that direction because, you know, this might make upset the U.S. government and they might, you know, pull the strings and so on. So, of course, that is what ICANN is afraid of, but the question is, isn't this a very dangerous idea to play with the devil in order to, you know, prevent the good from being overrided or something like that? Isn't that a bit, you know, uncareful? So that's the question to you, but that's my last question, so then I open the audience.
But certainly, a matter to consider, are we better off consigning this to the U.S. government, to the ITU, as has sometimes been suggested, to the WSIS, UN-organized process, or are we better off with the flawed, as it may be, multi-stakeholder, non-governmental, public benefit corporation? And I'm not suggesting that we would be better off with one of these alternatives. I'm here talking about how to hack ICANN because I think ICANN probably is better than most of the alternatives that are presented. But I think that ICANN needs to be reminded of where its power comes from and reminded of what can keep it in check. So reminded of the laws that it operates under, both U.S. and international, reminded of the public who, if they're going to be there, even at the edge of the structure, needs to have their interests considered, and not that we should push ICANN to the side, but rather make it the organization that we want it to be.
Well, and sometimes life is about playing with the devil. Talking about what you said, if there are government people saying, well, who are you as an individual user here? Here I am representing the people, you know, elected and so on. And I say, well, first of all, those government people normally are not government people in the sense that they were elected. Those government people who are in a governmental advisory committee, those are people of the administration normally. At least a large part of them is administration people. And I just smile at them and I say, oh yeah, I know that you do something no one else knows about in your administration. And, you know, I'm here to talk with your boss and say, hey, because I'm here to get in touch with the real elected ones, you know. They are just doing their policy stuff and we could work together. And here is something that there was really a step forward done by the World Summit on the Information Society, which was a very interesting experience over the years, because there was one thing why people started listening to individuals and not that much to government. There was a knowledge gap. It was absolutely clear that all those government people had not a clue about the technology. They had no idea what was going on. And they were actually really, they needed us to say, hey, we said, well, you want to set up public policies in the interest of the people. Do you know what the implications of the technology are? And they said, well, sorry, in the third world, they didn't even have a computer. They did not have the technology, and they certainly had no knowledge about what are the implications. And so this was actually a sort of turnaround concerning the knowledge, and there was a sort of education process by those individual users. And a result of this whole World Summit on the Information Society is the Internet Governance Forum, where there is now a multi-stakeholder approach saying there are governments, yes, there is business, yes, and there is civil society, and they are there to talk on an equal basis. And that is a new step forward, and we can, you know, look at this and give that as a good example.
All right. So any questions from you? Maybe exactly. We raise your hand. We got a...
Okay, sorry. So I was one of the original people that nicely signed up for the ICANN at large, what was it now, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? Sorry, is the microphone on? Okay. Oh, sorry. So I was one of the people who was part of this ICANN at large like 5 years ago and was really happy that I could have this vote. And then all I saw was that there was fights with directors not being able to see the paperwork that was part of it and being kicked out. And so I was really skeptical. Now, if I look at the whole ICANN, IANA, who is in control of it, I myself am very much involved with the DNS security, which comes back straight to who signs the root zone and who is in control, and is it the US government or is it some other organization? And really, it's taking a lot of energy away from the other things that ICANN's actually trying to do, whether or not you agree with some of the outcome. So personally, I'm not sure if it's so interesting whether it's ICANN or not. I think the only reason ICANN is hanging in there is that it's fairly powerless at this point in a stalemate. And frankly, I'm not sure if whether having a say or whether trying to have a say in ICANN via the at large is actually just not giving them one more excuse to keep that stalemate going. But if I look at Bali, what happened at Bali? Everybody talked about who controls the root, and nothing else publicly, at least, was released about what did people accomplish at Bali for the internet at large.
Okay, we will collect a few questions due to the time we have left. That's not so much. Please, the next.
Yeah. Thank you for the talk. I think the best way to get access to ICANN would be through politicians, as I saw already some nice organizations in the at-large structures in Europe, like the FÖBUT and others. So I think we would need to convince politicians to influence ICANN, so to say. I don't know how this the government assembly how the government representatives are elected. Perhaps there is the possibility to influence this process, so to say, to get the German government or other governments to make this an open election. Who represents Germany for in the ICANN, in the government access?
Any more? The government people, all right.
Yeah, any more? There's one at the bottom. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And perhaps to continue the idea already expressed, how could it happen that the first draft of ICANN with at large directors and all that evolved to what we saw today and what we see today, which has virtually no influence at all left for the public at large? How could that happen, and what can we learn from the process, and what to avoid next?
There was one right in the back of the room. Yeah, then I think we round up.
Yep. Yeah.
What if I do not want new TLDs and I absolutely do not want IDNs? Isn't the current structure of ICANN the best protection against new TLDs and IDNs?
All right.
All right, I guess that's all good questions. So we'll start with the first one. That is, if I summarize correct, roughly, if we just don't justify a process that's totally fucked up already when integrating ourselves in that process, and what are our real chances to, you know, to do something against or in the field of the issues? So that goes to you both.
You want to start?
ICANN is justifying itself perfectly well without any of our help. So, we're trying to make the processes of participation lighter weight, so that it's easy to submit a comment saying this works or this doesn't work, and the advisory committee is insisting more and more strongly that we actually get feedback and analysis of those comments, so that it's participation isn't capitulation, isn't admitting that this is the best of all possible worlds, but rather saying this is what we've got, and if there are easy ways to try to make it better, maybe we can twist a few screws. Another Americanism, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. To go to the later question, why is it that ICANN was allowed to evolve to ignore the public? Because the public wasn't the squeaky wheel back then. The intellectual property lawyers were, and they got processes and procedures to protect domain name trademarks against domain names, and they got structures to give them influence. If we squeak a little more loudly, I'm not promising that we can reverse the structural changes overnight, but we can make it harder to ignore the public.
Okay, next question was, shouldn't we collect politicians to be integrated in that process for us, and not only that they are maybe elected persons, but mainly for that they might have the money, the infrastructure, to play a role a bit more, let's say, well-equipped?
Oh, well,
that was a question.
I wondered if you wanted to say that government people should be elected directly.
Yes,
to,
also. Yeah.
I thought that's a real fun idea. You know, yeah. That's great. I love it. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's, in Leibrand, ma. Yeah.
Well, let's see how far you get. But I think, you know, just to that there is even if we reach the state that there is public watching government people, whoever they are, if they are elected or not, that would be really helpful, because those folks are just, you know, doing something there, and without any transparency, without normally, really, I can assure you, normally the governments don't know what their own folks are doing there. Very often that is the case. And so it would be very helpful if there was a transparency. If you get those people elected, go ahead. This would be fun.
I think, yeah, it's a very good idea. Also watching the fact that the next question was what is the lessons learned? And one of the lessons learned is the governments participate almost in a clandestine way. The GAC meetings are closed door meetings.
Right.
You do not enter the room if you're not a governmental representative. Even the board just has a session that is behind closed doors, where the government advisory committee addresses the issues to the board. So then you got this as a board member. I got the rare moments to hear, you know, what the fuck the government want. But that is normally not an open process, which makes it maybe even more, you know, suspicious for claiming, hey, what are these governments addressing there? Who elect them? And what's the issues they bring up in the interest of whom? So that's a very good idea.
And also,
But maybe, come on, let's stay with the question. So what's the lessons learned? I mean, I could of course, I gave a talk, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago here about the lessons learned. I could try to summarize that once more. But at the end of the day, it's always a struggle between do you justify a process you're into because you cannot really change the process, because you are a minority, you are underfunded in respect. If you look at intellectual property lawyers, there's like 200-300 people coming there with their secretaries, all flying business class, you know, having all the equipment they want, having their back offices, and you come there, you know,
tired,
as a more or less individual, wearing your own luggage and, you know, caring about everything. And that, of course, makes a big difference. On the other hand side, if you're not there, no one will even hear about this. So, I mean, the lessons learned might be sounding a bit frustrated, but the other hand side, you could, you know, leave them do their thing alone and say that's a clandestine fuck-up and we don't want to participate in it. But that's, if that is helpful, is another question. So maybe you got some comments about what's the lessons learned. And from your point of view, so are there, like, key things you would say you learned in this process of being trying to participate in the role of the individuals in the ICANN process?
I think I would say that there are lots of people of goodwill in the process, and even if the structure is designed against hearing from the public, there are lots of people, even all the way up at the board level, who do want to hear from the public and who want reasoned explanations of what it is that concerns the public. Mm-hmm. If we can help to collect and provide those viewpoints, that has the possibility to make a difference. Most of what ICANN does is little stuff that doesn't interest the ordinary internet user. But some of the things it does are things that are of great concern, and in those places we want to encourage targeted interventions. If you're concerned about privacy or new or internationalized domain names or have security and stability concerns, let us know, and let us know how we can encourage ICANN to work for your interests.
Okay, and then there was the last question, which we should also address. Isn't the current ICANN process and structure the best protection against new TLD? So,
yeah, I did not forget your question over there. To round it up, I'd say there are always allies and enemies in all the constituencies. Well, not that many allies in the intellectual property constituency, but you can find government representatives who are really smart and nice and who care about privacy. You can find with the registrars, there are smart and very democratic-oriented people there. You can find business people who, of course, want to do their business, but they also want to have a democratic procedure. So, I mean, there are all sorts of people around. And I have to disappoint you. The last question saying, well, do we just leave it the way and then it's protected against IDNs and new TLDs? Yes, ICANN did not want to have new TLDs, but they will have it. We were loud enough already. And there is an interest, and I don't think that they really can escape the introduction of new TLDs. They are prolonging the procedure, yes, but they won't avoid it. They won't get around it. And concerning IDNs, there is a strong will from developing countries which have, and not only developing, also countries who have really a totally different script, and they are just pushing hard. And so I don't think that ICANN can avoid it. They are on the way to do it. And well, in a whole to say, what shall we do? Find allies, and transparency is the issue here. Look at what government people are doing, look at the procedure, and give comments.